Bigfoot News Show, yo. Yeah. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatch King, it's out of sight. And good evening to the Bigfoot News for today's date, January 26, 2024. You got moi, Steve Coles, the Squatch Detective, here with good old Chris Bennett right down there. And we're going to cover four stories from the news and the netherworld tonight.
Yep.
And it's going to be a fun, fun night. And glad to see everybody there in chat.
Oh, yeah. Should
we do a quick roll call?
Well, yeah, it's probably a little early yet, but there's quite a few people that's already showed up. Thanks, guys.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, it's been another great week at work, so I'm not complaining.
I'll tell you what, I am really happy about the weather we've had here lately. Last week we were in the single digits and below zero. This week, 50s and 60s. You know, yep. A little rain, but that's okay. That's okay.
Even us, we are at 37 degrees right now.
Oh, man.
So that's good. A heat wave for us.
Good. Oh, yeah. I was praying for 37 degrees last week.
Yeah, we all were. We all were. So now we all, and you know what? I didn't hook my fan up tonight, but this is only an hour show. See, a lot of people don't know I have this little fan that goes off in the background because it gets very hot with all the studio lights on.
Yeah.
Because without the studio lights, this place does get a little, the background gets a little darker. So we light it up, make it nice and bright for a good, good experience for everybody. But and this week the monkeys went afoot again.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And a lot of people ask me why do you put monkey videos out there, you know, what's with the new monkey videos, because I like to, in a very funny way, show how smart primates are.
Oh yeah.
Man, they're fun. They're fun to watch. It's you know, you kind of give them a character a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, it definitely does. And for all our new subscribers, welcome to the channel. You know, this is the channel to be at. And, of course, we're going to be coming again back with another great guest this week on Squatch DTV. Boy, we have the show booked through the end of February right now. So we have guests lined up, and I'm going to tell you what, usually we do not do a show on Super Bowl Sunday, but a lot of people, you know, that watch this program don't care about football that much, a lot of them.
Yeah, we're going to do a Super Bowl DTV.
We're going to do a Super Bowl Squatch DTV, and just wait till you see who we have a guest for that night. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a big surprise to everybody. And it's gonna be a blast. Yeah. So
in other words, you're gonna want to record the Super Bowl and watch it later.
Right.
Don't miss this one coming up.
Yep. And let's go real. And of course, you know, I see Brian and Chewy go hiking.
Hey, Brian.
I saw that Chewy had a little bit of a fall this week and he kind of bruised some ribs. I hope Chewy's doing okay. But let's go through the roll call real quick. And first up in the chat is Ammon Chris, who said, "This is BNN."
Hey, I kind of like that. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, we got Rabbit Homesteading. Hello, Rabbit Homesteading. Good to see you back. Walter Kroll, channel member. Okay. Thomas Conley, who's hi, all at work. Sitting next to a very loud offsetting printing press. We're very sorry, Thomas.
Sorry, Tom. We'll try to speak up.
What did you say? Anyway, we got Pete H in the house, channel member. Sharon's in the house.
Sharon.
Of course, our good friend Mick is in the house as well.
Meatloaf Mick. Good to see you, man.
Saying he never gets notifications anymore. I don't know what the story is with that. But Mick, if I do recall, you were on the mailing list for the Squatch Detective.tv. If you're not, for folks who are having trouble getting YouTube notifications, go over to Squatch Detective.tv and join the mailing list. Because when I cut a video, it will send you an email.
Yeah.
So, and that's one way of getting around the YouTube pantheon. They are very reliable. Yeah. And of course, Brian and Chewy Go Hiking is in the house. Arthur Watch is in the house. Walter Kroll, another one of our channel members, in the house. Hello, hello, hello. Sharon, I think we already said Sharon, yeah. But Sharon, hello again. Don Gummo, he is in the house. Good to see you. Little Kilroy here on a Friday night. Good to see you, Little Kilroy. And hey, Dennis Conroy's here. Sorry about the confusion yesterday and any channel members that popped in. I actually, I've been helping a couple of folks set up their channels. First and foremost, Billy Willard, former host of the co-host of the show way back in the 2006 to 2008 era, is now back again doing his own show, Sasquatch Watch Radio. I think he just had his premiere episode with Eric Altman last week. But I've been helping him a little bit setting up his channel. And Wayne Larson, if you know Wayne, he's the husband of Melissa Larson, aka Melissa Hovey.
Yeah.
Him and I was setting up something because he's going to be doing a show on cryptids. So I was kind of helping him along and giving him some advice for the algorithm and what assets I use to create this show. So
good deal.
So unfortunately, I accidentally, when I set the stream up, I actually clicked on as a destination YouTube, even though I never planned on going live. And it just said test. And some people were showing up in chat. Like, oops. But we appreciate you guys. Of course. Also in the chat is Brian S. Hey, Brian. Another one of our channel members, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
And Jay Fritz is in the house. Another one of our channel members.
All right. I'm lost again. We must have quite a few people in here.
We do.
I'm
lost. And Jeff over at Pine Island Research. Hello,
Jeff. All right.
Okay. Chris, I think it's time for the news.
Good. Let's see. What do we want to start with?
We tonight are going to start with Bigfoot and bears again.
Bigfoot and bears again. Yeah.
The media misinformation.
Yeah. This is all over the Google search for Bigfoot news. I think the whole page is like talks about the Bigfoot and the bear study, you know. But this, you know, I found a little short thing that puts a different light on it. It says the title is State Stumps Bigfoot Research. Analysis ties sightings to bear population but can't explain Florida. The black bear has long been a potential suspect in Bigfoot sightings. The size fits, as a bear can grow about 7 feet tall.
Time on that. Bears do not get 7 feet tall in the Northeast, nor do they do on the East Coast.
Well, you know.
The bears that get to 7 feet tall are a rarity, and they are mainly in the Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, your Rocky Mountain states.
Yeah.
And that's the brown bear, and that, or a.k.a. the grizzly bear. Black bears don't get much more. I mean, the tallest black bear may be around 6 feet. But that's see how there's misnomers there right off
the right. Well, you know, it's acceptable. It could be 7 feet tall if he was a really big bear and he stood up on his hind legs. But anyway, it says, and the researchers have pointed out before that Sasquatch sightings have been heavy in areas with lots of black bears. Well, now let's think about that for a second. Let's see. You have an area that has enough food resources to support large black bears. So why couldn't it support something else?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Back to the article. I'm lost. Where'd I go? Okay. This study compared the locations of Bigfoot sightings with North American distribution of black bears, Live Science reports. The study found an average of one Bigfoot sighting for every 5,000 black bears. The findings, published in the Journal of Zoology on January 13th, show that if the bear population goes up, so do reports of Bigfoot sightings. Now, that's something. That's a correlation. But a biology professor not involved in the study said there's a logic to the explanation, but added a caution. correlation doesn't mean causation.
Good for him.
Michael Hickerson wrote in an email, but there might be so much correlation between black bears and Bigfoot sightings in most areas that the parsimonious simplest explanation is people misidentifying bears as Sasquatches. The amount of forest area also correlated with black bear population. Using 2006 data, researchers documented that for every 1,000 added bears to an area, Bigfoot sightings rose 4%.
Okay, we're talking about an area that's got enough food resources to support bears. So that area could support a large primate.
Okay, anyway, last paragraph. We're almost done. Black bears are the most common bear in North America, present in 32 states and nearly every Canadian province, per Live Science. But Florida confounded the researchers. Numerous Bigfoot sightings are reported in the state, though it has few bears. Florida also doesn't have much forest cover. Shouldn't less forest area predict fewer Sasquatch sightings, not more? Hickerson said. And if there are more humans but very few bears, what are the mistaken identifications coming from? And that's the end of the article.
So I have a really dumb question for this study.
Mm.
And to discount this study, all one has to do is look at New York State and Ohio.
Yeah.
Ohio has more Bigfoot sightings than New York State. I think it's like the fourth or fifth most or sixth most populated most reported Bigfoot sighting state. Yet New York has more black bears than Ohio. As a matter of fact, New Jersey has more black bears than Ohio, as does Maryland.
Yeah.
As does West Virginia, as does Virginia, as does the Carolinas, as does Georgia, as does Tennessee.
Right.
So you cannot explain. This looks like it's delegated to the Pacific Northwest.
Right. They say,
right.
They're trying to put all the Bigfoot sightings off on black bear misidentifications, but then there's Florida.
Right.
Well, how do you explain?
Right. Yeah, sightings? Exactly. Right. So, and obviously, how do you explain the fact that there's more Bigfoot sightings in Ohio than New York and New Jersey and Maryland?
Exactly.
Right. But there's more black bear in those states. So you see how a biased scientist, which the scientist that created this experiment was also did something with Loch Ness as well. And it's the same type of, well, we're going to say this, even though when you look at it at a state to state basis, the data does not make sense. Overall, it may look like it because of the number of sightings being the vast number of sightings, which tip the scales in the Pacific Northwest versus the Northeast. But if you look at a simple state like Ohio, if this was true, people were truly misidentifying bears, then there would be the most populated bear state in the Northeast would be Ohio when it is the least populated bear state.
Yeah. It's like Michael Hickerson said, correlation does not mean causation.
Correct.
So just because, you can't cherry pick. Okay. Right. When it comes to science, you can't say, well, this is this because it's here in this area, but no, it's got to be true in every area, not just.
And Mick is 100% right. In the eastern regions, black bears do not get that big.
Yeah, well, you know.
They don't. Yeah, I think the largest black bear on record in New York State is like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Weighing about 400 or 500 pounds, maybe 600.
Well, they scare me.
Most bears are the size of, most bears in like New York are about 300, 400 pounds, and they're only about 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
So even when they stand up.
Black bears are a lot different. I understand the grizzly bears are much bigger out west, much bigger bears.
Right.
And, they kind of scare me too. I wouldn't want to get eaten by a grizzly bear.
And Helton White, I agree that way more Sasquatches are seen in Indiana than bears. The important thing is it's not sightings, you know, do more, how many bear sightings are there versus how many Bigfoot sightings are. What they're doing is how many bears are in the state and how many Bigfoot sightings are there. And that's the, it's not even the same type of minutia there.
Yeah. Right. You know what they could do, they could figure out how many Corvettes they have in a state and then correlate that with the Bigfoot sightings and say, if you live in a state with more Corvettes, you'll have more sightings.
Yep. And like I say, you know, would you compare a steakhouse to a fast food restaurant just because they both serve French fries?
No.
Right.
Exactly.
And this thing tipped again.
So, yeah, you know, I kind of like that because, you know, it puts a little fly in their ointment. And, you know,
that would be like, tell me why are there Bigfoot sightings in Florida? Tell me why there are more Bigfoot sightings in Ohio than in New York State and Maryland and New Jersey, probably combined when those states have a bigger bear population than that of Ohio.
Yeah.
It's a perfect argument to argue that. And there is no explanation for it. Bottom line is you're cherry picking the Pacific Northwest and you're cherry picking areas saying, oh, well, you know, there's a direct correlation. No, there's not.
Yeah, that's right.
Not if you look at the fine minutia. It's a biased article. Well, yeah, you get a steak at a fast food restaurant, and you can still see the marks where the jockey was sitting, and I understand that, Mick.
That's a good comment by Mick. Yeah. Mick says, it doesn't mean they aren't dangerous, Chris. An Eastern black bear will mess anyone up, but they are cowards at heart. They're not more afraid of me than I am of them. No,
you wouldn't think, but they are. It was kind of funny. There's this one video where a guy's walking around a corner and a black bear walking around the corner and they both stop and they both go. They both split.
Thomas.
And then Helton says Indiana has more Bigfoots driving Corvettes than any other state. Indiana also has a lot more people doing acid. Very true.
Have I ever heard the term Iceman in reference to Kentucky folklore? No. No, other than Minnesota Iceman, which, you know, I got to see the Iceman as a kid. He came through over to set up shop over Glasgow, Kentucky.
And in New Jersey, the Iceman was a man by the name of Richard Kulkinski.
Oh, yeah. So he was like a mafia guy. What a hitman.
Yeah, he was a hitman, yep.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, next up.
Oh, okay. Which one are we going to do now?
Next up is the Colorado train video update. Now, this is very interesting. While skulking around the web for news stories, I came across a Facebook post. And it's very interesting. We all know the story of the infamous Colorado train video, which broke out last fall of this train going through Silverton, Colorado. Silverton to Durango on the tourist train, the big yellow train. And you hear somebody very calmly saying, oh, look, there's the elusive Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And they're filming it, right?
Oh, my.
Well, the funny thing is that in a group in 2010, in 2006, they were known as Facebook Find Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
After they got involved with the Dyer hoax and tried to claim that Dyer was telling the truth back in 2013, they kind of changed their name to just Facebook or just Bigfoot. I'm sorry. But anyway, they posted in 2010. 2010.
Hey, this post. That's the train in the background.
That is the train in the background with a Bigfoot scene running right there. And that was in 2010, May 29, 2010. And the post was just curious. Has anyone seen this photo before? Just looking for real information. Although Bigfoot is known to travel by river stream, this photo seems a bit preposterous. A Bigfoot in the open like this during daylight. What is interesting is the authenticity. And this was what Facebook Find Bigfoot is infamous for. That train is the Silverton train out of Durango, Colorado.
Yeah.
And there it is. There's the tourist train, and there's another Bigfoot, and this goes back to 2010.
And that, yeah, that tourist train, it has set schedules. So, you know, if you want to get your ticket, it leaves at a certain time and all. So the schedule is known by anybody that wanted to put on a Bigfoot suit and go out there and wait for the tourists.
So I think this pretty much completes the debunking that this is nothing more than a tourist stunt and a fun thing for the tourists to see to make sure they're paying attention and looking out the window, because that's what you do on a tourist train.
Yeah.
Why would the Bigfoot walk in front of a passenger train? You know, because the passenger may be eating, they may be reading, they may be sleeping. But in a tourist train, everybody's expected to be looking out the window going, ooh, ah.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Right? Well, they have a good story to tell. You know, they go home from vacation. Hey, man, I was sitting on the train eating a bologna sandwich, and I looked out the window, and there was an elusive Bigfoot.
Oh, look, it's the elusive Sasquatch.
The elusive Sasquatch.
In such a monotone voice.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think this one puts, you know, that little post helps put that whole mysterious thing. And here's the interesting thing. Who the hell's taking the picture?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody on the hillside got a picture of the train in the background and the Bigfoot down below. So that's kind of odd. Or maybe it was another Sasquatch with a camera on the hillside.
Very, very well could be. Very well. It's like, say cheese. Mumfrey, say cheese in front of the train. Okay.
Okay.
Do your patty pose.
Well, this would have been much better if they would have had somebody take the picture, the photo out of the train window. You know, this way, this is just too fake, you know.
Well, it's 2010. Nobody had phone cameras back then.
Ah, makes sense. Or, you know, maybe the little flip phone.
Yeah.
I never remember those. Those are awesome, man. Little flip phone. You want to hang up, you just fold it up, stuff it in your pocket.
Patty says, sorry to say, but I would have fallen for it if I was on the train. Well, Patty, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for the comment. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. It's a fun channel. Now, I can understand people falling for it. I do not think that the person that posted it was falling for it. I think they were involved in it, to tell you the truth. Or they knew it was fake, but we're going to post it anyway, just for fun. And it's a great tourist thing for the Silverton Durango train. Yeah. So that is the same train. And well,
people love that stuff when they're on vacation, like over at Mammoth Cave, you know, the deer over there are pretty.
So Jen says, missed the snapshot of the cell phone. Well, just so you know, here's my phone.
Oh yeah, you got one of those smartphones that folds up like the old flip phone. Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
You know why they did that? Because people missed that. They missed that.
Maybe, but you know what I like about it is it fits nicely in a pocket if you want to put it in a pocket.
Yeah.
And I can plug it into my car, you know, because of my Android Auto, and I can just flip it on a shelf and it sits there. It's just like that.
Those little phones were great, though. I mean, I know we're getting off subject, but, you know, those little phones were great. And I bet you my old one is probably laying in a drawer somewhere. And if I went and found it now and opened it up, the battery would probably still be
good. And the nice thing, just like the old flip phones, it's got caller ID right there. So I see who's doing it. Okay. Hello.
Man. Okay. But we're off topic now. Sorry, guys.
Back on topic. Okay, next up is misinformation making Bigfoot harder to believe. This was out of the Texas Monthly. In the misinformation age, believing Bigfoot is harder than ever. All yours, Chris.
Yeah, this was, it came back, November 28th of 2023. So this is a couple months old. But I thought it was a really good article. And the author is Lauren Larson, and she attended the Texas Bigfoot Conference. I'll just get into it. In the misinformation age, believing in Bigfoot is harder than ever. When the internet is saturated with fake videos and doctored photos, what's a Sasquatch enthusiast to do? The town of Jefferson is a 20-minute drive from, I think that's Caddo Lake.
Caddo Lake.
East Texas, is the creepy, cute love child of Gilmore Girls star Hollow and the True Bloods Bond Temps. Okay, I don't get those references personally.
Okay, so the Gilmore Girls and True Blood were each allegedly the geographic areas were there.
Okay.
In that area.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
At first glance, Jefferson seemed like an unlikely gathering place for those hunting the unknown. It is profoundly quaint. There is a Gone with the Wind museum. Oh, that's cool. The shops are shops.
They sure are.
The restaurants are taverns and saloons, and the antiques overfloweth. On a Saturday morning in October, the town is not yet woken up, and an orange cat suns itself in the middle of a brick-laid street in the middle of town.
We're looking for a Pulitzer Prize on this one, evidently, aren't they?
That's why I fell in love with this article. It's great, man. Well written. The previous night, however, walking back to my Airbnb in the dark from the evening saloon, Jefferson had me thoroughly spooked. Greg Woolheater has held the annual... Greg Woolheater. Greg Woolheater has held the annual... What?
Don Gummo just joined the channel as a new member. Oh, well, welcome, Don.
Thanks, buddy. Welcome aboard.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. But anyway, she said, Craig Woolheater has held the annual Texas Bigfoot Conference for 23 years, often in Jefferson. His parents bought a bed and breakfast in town in 2000, and Woolheater hosted the conference's early iterations there. With his parents catering, the first year, there was a pancake breakfast back in 2001. Woolheater recalls, there were only about 3 or 4 Bigfoot events nationwide each year. Now, he says, it seems like there's one every weekend, some drawing thousands of visitors. I know Hocking Hills does. His conference is more modest, typically accommodating between 200 and 250 guests in previous years. Now, one of the reasons I like this article is because it talks about Craig Woolheater. But anyway, it said, Woolheater, a water conservation consultant, is tall and mighty, but very soft-spoken. He's also capable of great rage, he tells me, citing the parking situation after a Rolling Stones concert in Houston in 2019. Okay, hold the phone here. Now, we are going to get Craig back on the show and ask him, what is this deal? What was the parking lot situation?
After we got to get the backstory on that one.
Because it's not in here. And I'm piqued. I want to know. So anyway.
Inquiring minds like ours want to know. Damn it.
The BNN wants to know.
That's right, BNN.
He describes himself
as BNN.
As a behind the scenes guy at the conference, not unlike Bigfoot himself. Woolheater became interested in Bigfoot after his own sighting in central Louisiana in 94. And he is glad to have created a community where those who have had encounters that cannot explain, can share them without judgment. We've had some oddballs, he concedes. He remembers one man, a self-identified doctor, telling him his theory that Bigfoot was the offspring of lonely mountain men.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Lonely mountain. The offspring of lonely mountain men and bears.
That's a new one to me. That's almost as funny as Mark Zaski saying he's got Bigfoot blood in him. He's related to Bigfoot.
That's pretty good. That's a new spin on getting your back scratched up, he quips, adding that having seen The Revenant, he finds such a romance improbable.
Yeah, one would think.
Yeah.
Those bears get awfully cantankerous.
Well, you know, that's why maybe that's another reason the Bigfoot sightings might correlate with the bears, you know, more love child between lonely mountain men and bears.
And don't forget Bear's deal. Remember Cocaine Bear?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Which, if you haven't seen Cocaine Bear, it's roughly made on a true event. The very beginning of the movie is 100% true what happened. And then, you know, up until the point the bear gets a hold of the cocaine, then the story devolves into this bear becomes a monster, basically, and starts, you know, all jacked up on coke.
He starts misbehaving badly. Right, he certainly does.
He certainly, yes. But it's a fun watch.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to skip a little bit of this here because she's just describing when she arrived at the conference and stuff, and how to, you know, what things were like at the conference. Okay, but let's see. She said, I was not drawn to the Texas Bigfoot Conference by an encounter of my own, though I have seen enough unsettling activity in the woods to believe. At least when I'm alone, walking back to a campsite after dark, that something is out there. I came in large part because there are so many species in the United States that we have not yet been formally introduced to. Rice University entomologists discover new wasps about the same rate I discover new freckles on my arms. And I see, value in considering ethical questions that surround hypothetical new species, to say nothing of extinct but previously unknown species, which Texas scientists are still discovering at a rapid clip. This year's find includes an ancient beaver named after Bucy's, and a dog-sized dinosaur whose jawbone was spotted by a Perot Museum volunteer. Cool. I was also interested in how the idea of proof might have changed with the advancement of artificial intelligence and the proliferation of misinformation online. When everything we see online is unbelievable, what future is there for a community built around the unbelievable? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that you see, you know, online, it's like unbelievable. And here we have, like, those Colorado Bigfoot photos and stuff. You know, we have people that actually had an encounter, and they look at that and they say, "Oh my goodness, does that look like what I saw?" Or you know, maybe they've seen something too. Now I feel like I'm vindicated. You know,
right?
And it turns out to be, you know,
well, most of the AI that's readily available to people generates photos like the one you see here in the picture.
Yeah, right.
And you can always find those little defects. In fact, can anybody see the defect in this particular photo?
Well, he's reading the newspaper. I mean, you know.
Well, if you look at his right foot, it has five toes. But if you look at his left foot,
it has four toes. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Dennis. Yes, that was a pretty big sneeze. Came out of nowhere. But as you can see that, you know, AI, if used for good reasons, can be a wonderful tool.
Sure.
Look at the richness of graphics we have done since we started using AI to generate some of our pictures to better illustrate some of the things we talk about. It makes my job a lot easier. It makes it more enriching, I think, to the audience. The jingles you hear on the shows created 100% by AI with a little suggestion of the lyrics from me.
Yeah.
And I suggest the lyrics and the type of music I want to have, and it generates several of them, and I choose what I feel is the best one, the most appropriate for the show.
That's ones I think are great, man. I think that's fun, you know?
And for those who are not members, one of the wonderful things is I cut the 2024 Bigfoot Researchers album to our members. And hysterical. Maybe some characters in there that we talk about very often here that have made the album and have very nice little toony little songs, ranging from punk rock like you hear on our intros, or country music or folk music that, you know, so using AI can be a wonderful thing, but where it becomes convoluted is like when somebody uses a really high-end photographic AI type of program that manipulates and puts Bigfoot into these pictures. Like, you know, the one that was circulating on the web for so long was the guy standing next to the Bigfoot who happened to hold a walking stick.
Yeah.
And oh my God. And then there was another, if you go to the Searching for Bigfoot website, they actually put an AI, a very obvious AI program picture on there that I've actually traced back to Instagram on the AI project.
Yeah.
That they created, admittedly, but they're trying to say, have you seen this picture? I don't think they're that dumb, but apparently they're trying to fill some content because they don't have any.
Well, yeah, Bigfoot using a walking stick could be a red flag, you know.
Well, Helton says AI will be the end of artists and talent. I do not think so. I think that as a human being, we appreciate art that is made from another person. Like, art is a taste.
Yeah.
And while we'll use this, what it's done is, has it eliminated the graphic artist? Absolutely. You know, programs like Canva and AI eliminate any type of graphic artist that I have to pay. On the plus side, I can provide a much superior product. Although I'd like to employ them, I wouldn't be able to afford a graphic artist to do the sheer amount of graphics for this program each week. But I think an art piece of art drawn by a person is appreciated more by another person, per se. And yeah, and like speaking as an IT professional for 30 years, it really isn't AI. It's just a sophisticated program, pretty much. Pretty much. But that sophisticated program generates some really, really, you know, easy to use graphics to use. But
I think AI will replace some writers in Hollywood because they have.
Jen says maybe they have walking sticks, convenient for Trinoc.
Yeah, what?
But I doubt it. Sounds like Jen's been hanging out with the cocaine bear.
That would work. They carry their walking stick and hit the tree with it. That's perfect. Oh, Jen Sharp.
Yeah, that was good.
But, you know, creative thinking and thought in Hollywood has been dead for some years now. And that's why we have things like Cocaine Bear and Sharknado 5.
Well, I think Cocaine Bear actually was original. I think that was like, hey, we can make a good story out of this true story. I think that's legit. But what we see is a lot of sequels.
You'll have Cocaine Shark, you know, came after Cocaine Bear. Not had the chance to watch Cocaine Shark yet, but
is there a Cocaine Shark?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, I remember seeing the advertisements for it just after Cocaine Bear came out.
Well, of course, you know, there's got to be some knockoff somewhere. Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, instead of Sharknado, we're going to have
Brian says, how about Crack Bear?
Shark Theft Typhoon.
Or Meth Bear or Fenton. I'm sorry. We're going to get demonetized from talking about this too much.
It's just movies. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Yogi Bear, what has happened to you, bud?
Hey, oh, Boo Boo, look what I got in the picnic basket. All right. So let's get off to our next topic and our final topic tonight, because we got 20 minutes to talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get on that one. You'll just skip the rest of this one, Steve, or just get back.
Yeah, I think we're good with this one.
Okay.
But
it's a good read, you know, if you guys are interested in
check it out.
And it's all about her experiences going to a Bigfoot
conference. Yep. And you can find it right over at the Texas Monthly.
Yeah.
So, all right, next story up, and our final story of the night is not this one, but the Umatilla, Oregon video, which apparently was shot late last year. It made its way recently on Rocky Mountain Sasquatch. And let's take a look at that video right now. Like, figure believed to be a Bigfoot has been captured walking up a hillside in the U.S. Fascinating footage taken by a woman named Kelly, who was hiking through the Blue Mountains in Oregon with her daughter, was published on YouTube by the channel Rocky Mountain Sasquatch. Possible red flags I see, the woman claimed reason for filming such a short time was because she didn't want to feel like a creep and had her daughter with her and did not flee automatically. But however, at that distance, it may not be a factor. Okay, your thoughts, Chris?
No, I'm out on this one. No.
And you were never in.
Yeah, it's a little too clumsy for me. I don't think so.
And Don hit it right on the head too.
Creatures struggling to get up here. Well, that's one of the reasons, Don, that I'm out on this one, because back some years ago, 2011, I think it was, a buddy of mine, John, had went out, and we went up a hillside where one had been reported, had been seen, and it had supposedly cleared the distance moving up this hillside in like 15 seconds.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, man, it took us probably a good 10 minutes just to cover that same distance. So, yeah, I'm
absolutely
out. And this one looked a little bit too clumsy.
Well, if you look at the arms in the picture, they look like human arms. They don't look very elongated. It's hard to tell any kind of necessarily photographic pinpointing.
Right.
And good night, Rabbit Homesteading. Good to have you here, and we'll see you all Sunday, hopefully.
Yeah. But another thing, it's not very smooth, okay?
No.
Now, John had a sighting in 2011, and he saw one going down a hillside. And the way he described it to me, he said it was very smooth. It's like it was floating, down the hillside. The top of its head, in other words, was just, smooth the whole way as it was moving. So I don't see that smoothness here either. So
right. Right. Yeah. And the fact is, there's a couple of things I find interesting about this video.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, is the minutia about the movement of the said creature.
Right.
Secondly, I only shot the video for a short time because I felt like a creep. Well, if you felt like a creep, why would you shoot at all?
Yeah.
Right? So that kind of doesn't not necessarily make sense. Now, on the video over at the RMSO, there is pictures. Well, she took a picture of the gate, and it was a closed-off trail, and supposedly it was a picture of the gate. But the one thing you never see is the picture of her daughter in it. I mean, they could have blurred her face, or a picture of her in it. They could have blurred her face. Or, necessarily there is a lot to do with exact location. And coincidentally, Rocky Mountain Sasquatch has been there before finding tracks. They claim that it's not far from where, and thank you so much, Dennis.
Dennis, thanks, bud.
Sticker,
great. Appreciate it.
The other one is, they claim that it was near where Paul Freeman had his sighting.
Yeah.
Where the one he videoed. To me, and is it a coincidence that the woman named Kelly just so happens who runs the RMSO? Kelly Shaw.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It, you know, without any provenance to the information, because I have looked and I can't find this on a Facebook page from an individual named Kelly. I can't find this anywhere else on the web, even on YouTube. The only place to find this is the RMSO. To me, if it isn't out there first and then it just shows up on somebody's website with no provenance to it, kind of suspect.
Yeah, that's a big red flag. I wouldn't necessarily say that her not showing her daughter on video would be a red flag, though. You know, that's perfectly
right, privacy
concerns and stuff. Plus, you know, you don't want images of your children online, or I don't. Anyway.
But there's enough blurring technology out there to do that and get away with it. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, if, you know, RMSO wanted to investigate this officially, like they, you know, they always claim to do, why couldn't they have, if it was there? My guess is that one of two things occurred. And number one is that this woman gave them the video. Well, actually, one of three things. Explain the story, and they put it out there without doing any investigation. Two is that they found the video on YouTube somewhere, and they made the story up. Or three, they just made the entire thing up, and that's what you see up there. That's three explanations we have right now, or the three possibilities we have right now. And, you know, is Kelly a popular name for a girl? Somewhat nowadays. It's not the most popular name.
I've known a couple of Kellys.
I as well. But they are generally older, and she could be older as well.
Yeah.
So I don't really know all that much. That's the one of three possibilities. I really get perturbed by something calling themselves an organization and not adding any provenance to something. And if they don't know what provenance is, they need to look it up in the dictionary, because that's really important. What we did, what was the date? What was the time? You know, but they seem to know where it was, right?
Right.
Why did they never say the time and date? You know, so, and it's real great. You're showing us old videos of when you investigated the area and some nice aerial footage, but you do not get to the minutia or the provenance of the video itself. And that's really important.
If the details is, what's the old saying? The devil's in the details. Yeah,
exactly. That's a saying my good friend Jeff Meldrum uses all the time. The devil's in the details.
Yeah.
And that's why, if you ever hear him talk about the Skookum cast, not to, to get off, you know, which I was very skeptical of, but if you hear him talk about the Skookum cast, you understand why there's a little more to it than meets the eye.
Right.
I'm not really entirely jazzed by this video, but I thought it was interesting.
That
we show, you know, something. And this is, you know, what this show is about, is let's take a look at the newest videos or something. And let's talk about it real quick. And because it's in the news.
And so, with video, you know, it's not going to prove that Bigfoot is real. I mean, even if they do get a legit video, it's not going to prove that Bigfoot's real. But, and you can either look at it and say, and like it, or look at it and say, nah, I don't like it.
Right.
So on this one, I don't like this.
Yeah, well, like I said, to me, the lack of any provenance of, we have the where, kind of, but we do, because he's got a picture of the gate, but we don't have the when, you know, the when, in what time, you know, so we need the five W's, and right now, we only have three of the five W's. We're missing the where and when, or the when and what, you know. Or, you know, what time was it? And, you know, what date was it? We're missing two of the W's, the big W's there is. And you cannot have, I mean, it would be like saying somebody coming to me, well, my store got robbed. Really? What happened? Well, it was at such and such address, and it was at such and such. This is what happened. I was doing this, doing that. Yeah, well, what time did it happen? Where did it happen?
Don't know.
So that's crucial. And maybe it's out there. Maybe it was an oversight by them. But it's really important to put that provenance out there. Otherwise, to me, it sounds like it's made up.
Maybe they'll add some more info now.
Maybe. That's the options we're at. That's why, we have a policy here. When we get a video, we don't just say, hey, look at this. We take a few months to work on it, to look at it, even the audio. And like I said, I think this week I'll be dropping a video on the Whitehall audio. But fortunately, I can't get up to the area to show you because come December, they close the gate to the whole area and they close all the roads up there because of weather.
And, can you play the video again, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like to check and watch it. And,
this is the original video, and the other videos are zoomed in. And it doesn't appear to be moving all that fast as well.
That looks smooth to you?
Not at all.
Kind of looks like he's struggling, doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit, like right there.
As humans, we throw our arms out to balance us when we feel unstable. And I don't think we can do that.
Yeah, the biggest thing, like I said, I got the picture of it with its arms out there.
Right.
Particularly captured at that point. And it does appear to be struggling a bit. And remember, we do that because we get off balance because our pivot point is on the front of our foot.
Exactly.
You know, and like they said, a mid-tarsal break, which we know is on a Sasquatch foot, is made for climbing a little bit better than we can. So I don't know. I just, you know, there's just too many ifs about this video, I think, that, too many questions. And, Patty says, my husband, I agree, it's a woman with a jacket on. Could be a woman or a man. Absolutely right. Doesn't have that glide. Absolutely yeah. Not. Gary Johnson Sr. says it looks like a human. I agree with that. All of the above. So
to me, it looks a little clumsy to be something that can.
So I think we
something can that can be described as when it moves, it floats.
Yeah,
you know, that's so smooth.
I mean, it could be terrain. It could be challenging knowing the spot and getting out there may shed more light. And absolutely,
yeah.
Again, you would think that would be the case, but that's what happens when you have a real organization that'll go out and investigate a video, which is somebody in my neighborhood gave me a video. You're darn tootin', I'd be out there taking measurements, taking pictures of the scene, right, knocking on doors, talking to neighbors, if there's any, and doing the job, not just put it out there for clicks. And unfortunately, you know, and whatever they can post whatever they want about me. But I really think that,
you would have been going over that hillside with a fine tooth comb trying to find the trackway.
Well, I would like to know what it was, because it kind of looked like it was almost getting up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that may be that, you know, okay, we can explain some of the clumsiness because the Bigfoot heard them and decided, oh, I better get up and walk away. But it's just really weird that the story doesn't say that. I mean, the story says she was out walking and, oh, I saw this creature. I mean, like, look how open the area is. You would have seen that from, you know, I don't know. It's kind of, but they are a distance. We're looking at a zoomed in shot of it, of course. But you put your feet on the ground. Remember, you can take a camera shot. It looks further away. But when you take that camera away and look in your real eyes, it's actually closer. So I don't know. There's some things that really just Dennis says, that's a real blob squatch.
Yeah, it is, Dennis.
just missing the red circle.
The thing that gets me, though, the behavior. Something
I never felt was a creeper while watching wildlife.
Right. Yeah, I would tell you that's true.
And Don says, I still don't understand feeling creepy about it. And agreed, all great points.
Maybe she had a creepy feeling. No,
she says she stopped filming because
she felt creepy.
She felt creeped out. Now, that was allegedly asked by RMSO in their conversation with her.
Well, you know, if this had been the real thing, or, you know, she could have been.
Well, you know, and the other thing about Prominence, too, is how about actually having the person talk on an audio?
That would be better. Yeah.
Right. You can always change the pitch of a voice to disguise the voice in an editor. It's not a big deal. You know, a third grader can do it nowadays. You know, that would add provenance to the video. Yeah. You know, can I do a taped phone interview? That would be possible, and you can still alter the voice with pitch. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not a huge issue. That would add to provenance that this is an actual sighting. What I'm looking at is a lot of videos from that channel with a lot of people saying it was this, people saying it was that, but never hearing the people's real voices or even a disguised voice saying what it was. To me, it's no different than Steve Isdahl reading an email, you know, in front of a beautiful mountain behind him.
Yeah.
It's all the same. There's no real investigative or scientific worth to this kind of video if it's not presented in a proper fashion. Yeah. So
I'd have felt better about it if they had a recorded phone call or something and just changed the woman's voice.
Right. Yep. But Chris, it is 9:57 already. How quick that hour goes, isn't it? Uh-oh, Chris, you lost something. Oh, no, Chris, I think you lost your mic. Yeah, remember we were talking about that mic cord? I think your mic cord got pulled, and now you're off your computer mic.
Okay, what about now?
Oh, you're fine now.
Sorry about that. Technical difficulties.
Yep. And OT says that drives me up a wall. They have a video, and let's say it's one off. There is zero multimedia forensic analysis. It isn't rocket scientists. We have CTFs, and for forensics, we sure do.
Yeah. OT, you know, I like the way you think.
And yep. Absolutely.
Everybody. That's why we get the greatest audience in the world.
That's why you guys are here, because you agree with us in the mannerisms. Then, yeah. Chris needs a blue Yeti mic. He has one. He has my old one.
That's the and, problem.
yeah, I mean, all of them. Listen, a quick note that if anybody's thinking about doing a podcast, don't get a blue Yeti mic anymore. Since Logitech took them over, I got rid of my. I said it's a little touchy. I sent it to Chris if he can work with it. Mine is on a boom, so it was always, you know, out, you know, here and there. I got the new Blue Yeti, put it up there, and it lasted about 6 months, and the same thing happened to that, despite it not being moved and unplugged. Yeah. And it got so bad that it would not read a cable anyway. And the problem is not the cable. It's actually in the connector.
Yeah.
Since Logitech took Blue Yeti over, they're garbage. So I threw it away. I got this nice new Zoom mic that I use, you know, the same brand as the digital recorders that we use, except they have a podcast mic, and that one has been a rock solid piece of equipment. So yeah,
with the Blue Yetis, you just don't want to move it.
Yeah.
Don't make the mistake of moving it.
Although Blue Yeti does make one hell of a mic stand. And this is actually the boom for the Blue Yeti, but they're kind of universal. So, but anyway.
Oh yeah, man.
Well, we gotta get out of here. That's right. Chris, you want to do your thing?
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. If it's your first time watching on YouTube, please remember to hit the like button, bump that subscribe.
Sharing is caring, Steve always said.
Yep.
But we appreciate you. So honored that you would be here with us. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
you. That's right, guys. And again, we appreciate it. We have the greatest audience in the world. I love you guys. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all our members. We love you. There'll be more stuff coming. I actually did a video this week, but for some reason it wouldn't upload to Dropbox. So I tried. We'll get some more content out to you guys in the coming weeks. It's going to be good. We're going to do another probably training session in the month of February. I'm thinking we're going to talk about psychoanalysis and Bigfoot sightings. And that's going to be really, really a cool, cool thing to look at. And we're going to take extra. And hello, Nikki. Thanks for stopping by. So anyway, on behalf of me and everybody else here, thanks. Be safe for the next couple of days. We'll catch you Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on Squatch DTV Live. And this week's guest, we are going to have C. Wayne Cothrow. And he is the host of Paranormal Odyssey. He does a lot of work with Brian Sharp King. Should be a great discussion. Talk about his experiences with Bigfoot. We'll catch you all in a couple of days, folks. Be safe. Love you guys. Ciao.